I hope it works, but it seems. Okay, hallo und herzlich willkommen bei Prepared, dem deutschen Gear-Podcast. Und heute sehen wir auf der anderen Seite diesmal nicht einen bärtigen, haarigen Mann, so wie es sonst üblich ist, sondern eine sehr nette Dame, Kathleen Borkin. Und sie versteht ganz genau, was ich sage, obwohl sie immer sagt, sie spricht kein Deutsch. Und es wird die erste Aufnahme oder die erste Episode in Englisch sein. Und wir switchen gleich. Hello and welcome, Kathleen Borkin, the way of tracking master. So, how are you? Hi.
Hi, everything is good. Ich freue mich. Dankeschön.
Very, very good. I know that you speak German quite fluently and very good. So, but we keep it in
so
English
la,
now.
So la la.
Okay. But it's always cool if you when I see you on Instagram and we got to know each other from Instagram, then sometimes you even write like in Austrian language, like you know, like, and it's yeah, and it's okay. It's very, very cool. Okay.
Sometimes it happened that I try. Well, I'm switching different languages because yes. I'm in the process of refreshing my German and also to learn a little bit of the Austrian dialect.
Okay, so thank you. So thank you for being here, first
thank
of all,
you.
And for all of you out there who don't know Kathleen yet. For me, just some brief information, and then I will hand it over to Kit to tell something about her. But you are one of the European top trackers, so the way of tracking is your way of life. So being in the nature, giving courses, and being outdoors is your stuff. So yes, introduce yourself to our audience, please. It's your turn.
Just a few words because I don't want it to be a little bit, let's say, too much. Yes. But in few words, I'm trading. Let's say the tradition of men tracking skills since 6 years so far. Mm-hmm. I'm a representative and instructor for an American school, Wolf Tracking mm-hmm. School, which is based in Virginia. And I'm leading my tracking classes all over Europe. So mm-hmm. actually I start in Italy, where I'm currently living in North, in Milan. Mm-hmm. And then I led the very first class abroad. It was, back in 2018 near Frankfurt, and then I was fortunate and grateful enough to have been called in several different countries, such as Britain, Switzerland, Slovenia mm-hmm. so far, several times also in Spain. That's why mm-hmm. I speak different languages also to offer the courses in different languages.
Yes.
And it's my main job, so I'm a full-time mm-hmm. instructor. Mm-hmm. Even if during the week I also like to write articles, to work on new books that I'm mm-hmm. preparing. And the next one will be in German for an awesome publisher. So we got it as a sort of a spoiler alert.
Yes. But looking forward to this, I already know it. And guess what I'm having here? So for the audience out there, I have in my hands the tracking compendium, and it's not only very good source of information but also very handy and very well designed. So it's like for all you out there who cannot imagine, so you can see it on your website or on the way of tracking website, or where can they get it?
They can find it along with all the other books on the home page of my website, which is thewayoftracking.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Actually, this book is available in different languages. It will be mm-hmm. available also in the German language, but it will be published with a proper company because they are self-published. Me and the other author, Andy Martin, who is the mm-hmm. CEO and the main instructor for our anti-poaching ranger NGO, which is based in Colorado. Yes. We decided to write it down, let's sort of a field manual, because we are big fans of, you know, like a British field manual.
Yes.
So we thought about that. We say, well, it could be cool, niche-lect.
Yes.
And we went with something which is handy that you can put inside the pockets. You can hold it inside some pouches, inside the backpack. And you can also lay it down on the terrain because it got the measuring device exactly in centimeters and inches, so that could be like a surplus, for the field manual.
Yeah, this is something I wanted to say, that it is very handy since you can use it as you said, like a measurement device. And yeah, it's a very, very cool design, and it fits perfect in a chest pocket or something like that. And you can always have it with you. And that's something I really appreciate in such kind of books. But okay, we're getting way too far right now, but I'm very happy that you mentioned it. So foremost, Caitlin, so where are you from? So what is your background? So I'm also interested in not only your trekking, but perhaps the way you became the trekker you are today. So how did it started when small Caitlin run through the mountains and watched movies of Indians or of Native Americans?
Exactly.
Treks or something like that? Tell us about us. Tell us about you.
I was born in Italy, in Mailand. I got remote origins from Germany and also from Slovenia. So that's why I'm dealing very well with the two countries.
I'm very fond of.
And since I was a child, I've been introduced to the outdoor world.
Yes, but wait a minute. But you grew up in Mailand, so normally it must be fashion. You know, for a young girl in Mailand, it must be fashion. So, but you decided the other way.
Actually, I dislike the city. It's not for me at all because we got more than 2 million of inhabitants. Yes. And for me, it's like a sort of a transition place because, yes, I grew up here, but I try to spend my time most of the time outside, you know, and having the Alps so close, more or less 1 hour driving, it's a benefit. Definitely it is. So since I was a child, I've been introduced to hiking, to climbing a little bit, spend a lot of time on the Alps, doing a lot of hikes also, let's say historical Alps on former trenches of World War One. My father is fond of history, so he kind of brought me in the kind of mindset of history and so on. Mm-hmm. And then the problem is that he's also very passionate about Western movies, so he kind of, you know, having just one television at home, it means like manipulated television, all the lights, and watching Western movies like one after another and so on. So it was pretty much like full immersion inside of it. And around 2012, one of my former fiancé introduced me to survival skills and also to prepping. So that was very curious. And I attended.
Did he have a military background or something like that, or an outdoor background? No, okay.
Unfortunately not. I regret a lot not to have taken the military career. I regret it with every single day, let's say. Yeah. But I wanted to university and before being an instructor, I had different works. I work as a secretary for different companies, UniCredit Bank, for example. So totally different job. But then in 2018, he came the possibility to lead my first classes because years before, I decided to attend some classes to learn how to do man tracking skills.
Okay.
So I started actually with the European division of the Davis-Cordonnellan Tracking School, which is based in Arizona.
Okay. I need to interrupt you now because there is a kind of a gap between like survival skills with your fiance back then and then to the tracking. So how did
I wanted to, at a certain point, I said, okay, I'm acquiring and still I am acquiring survival skills.
Okay.
But I still have this idea back in my mind of those, you know, Western movies.
Okay.
And I say, okay, maybe I can find, let's say, some schools here in Europe that allow me to acquire these skills in man tracking. And I found one, which is based in the north of Italy. And I started actually my path with them.
Okay.
And then I wanted to go to United States to attend to another class. And that class was more, let's say, tactical, because it was called the Tactical Acuity for ID.
So it
was pretty much 5 days of intense man tracking skills, but dedicated to ID, so very specific. And then after that, I started leading my own classes.
Okay, one moment, please. I need to explain something for these out there, perhaps, who do not know what is IED.
Absolutely.
Like improvised explosive devices. And especially since Afghanistan and Iraq, that's something most of the militaries did employ into their trainings to do like counter IED operations that you find these devices and and that you are aware of it and do some counter measurements, either to find them or to work with them if they detonate and stuff like that. And you did it on the like finding IEDs or finding the people making the IEDs? What was the background of this course?
Both of them, I would say, because a lot of exercises were kind of focused on identifying where this IED has been put into place, and also to identify either a possible other places, which could be suitable for the insertion of an IED. Yes. So it was like a mix of them, because that course was very, it was an alternation between theory and practice, but it was pretty much, especially the last days, was focused on, doing a lot of field training, and we got five different instructors alternating during the course. Yes. One of them is a former Green Beret and now in the DEA. So we got a very high level, high profile, I would say, of instructors. And so that's how we started.
Okay. How did they react to you? An attractive young woman being there. I guess you were kind of a unicorn, you know what I mean? So being there. How did they react to you, and how did you feel or how did you feel back then?
But you mean during that class?
During that class, right.
Well, have you been the only? They react in a very polite manner. Americans are very polite.
Yes.
Very respectful. So yes. Absolutely, I got no issues, neither with the instructors, neither with the other participants. Mm-hmm. There were some other guys from the EOD. And I'm still in contact with some of them, so absolutely no problem at all. My English back in the day was, I have to admit, it was very, very bad.
Okay.
So I had some issues in understanding what they say, because they were coming from different states. So we got one guy coming from Texas, the other one from Virginia. And so I need a little bit of my time to
acclimate,
understanding what they were saying. I also tried to express myself in a proper manner. So after I really wanted to perfectionate my English. And there's no better way to, watching tons of videos, speaking with people. And nowadays I have, I'm grateful for having friends and collaborators quite all over the world. So I definitely speak English even more than Italian or other languages, let's say.
Yes, perfect. Okay. So I guess there's, not something happening. Okay. But back then, I think, so was the being in the States with this course, was this your personal like breakthrough in doing it professionally?
Yeah, it was pretty unexpected, because when I came back from United States, a couple of survival instructors here in Italy, master survival instructors asked me to lead some classes.
Okay.
And I say, I'm not sure that I fit enough, let's say, to these classes. But then I have some dialogue with my instructor in the United States, Michael, and he said, absolutely go with that. You can bring on the guidelines of the wolf tracking schools, but you can also be pretty much free in adapting the program. That was pretty much good, because, in the United States, usually the course, it's from 3 days up to five, six. And instead, it happens very regularly that I have a request for 1 day course.
Mm.
So 1 day course for me, it means to, let's say, condensate every single thing in 1 day. And I had also classes of, especially in the Netherlands, of 17 people in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's a little bit tricky to explain the theory, to make them work, and having all these good amount, let's say, of people that you needed to manage to make them work, not because they are lazy, not at all, but because the very opposite, they are so willing to learn that you always have to produce new exercise and to it's a manner to improve also.
I can completely understand this, since one of the rules, or I need to read it since I just read it today. One of the rules of tracking by the books is, and this is the last one, this is very interesting for me, is don't jump to conclusions. And this is something which is, I think, very, very hard because,
yeah,
you know.
Let me tell you that this is not the original version.
Okay, but.
I will tell you, because it's good also for the audience. The original version of this quote, let's say, it's not a don't jump into conclusion, but it's assumptions. Can I be a little bit vulgar?
Yes.
A little bit. Okay. It's assumptions are the mother of all the fuck ups.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So
that's perfect. That is absolutely fine here.
But in the book, it would be more, it would.
Yeah, it is more land-based. So I'm an infantry guy. I'm totally aware of this. Not a problem at all. But the thing is, no matter how you call it. So, but when you lead a class. And I'm sure I'm not a very I see something and I think that, you know, and especially when tracking, and so far as I understand from your books and what I read from tracking now, like from, I think, Selinger, an Austrian guy, sorry.
Salzberger?
Yeah, right. I think he, that, you know, I want to be like this, like the guys in the movies, like, you know, like the three guys, one of them is 6 foot tall, the other one is 5'11", and they went this way and that, you know, and knowing everything just by a single, you know, like footprint. But that's not the thing. So, and especially with like big class with 17 people, I think it's very hard to be. To be that good in like looking at the details, you know, and not jump to conclusions, but to see, okay, it could be this direction, reading this sign, but also, but now we need to recheck it again and again. So, I think that's all about, yeah.
It takes time. It's a little bit stressing because it's quite all about, focus and patient. So it requires a lot of time, a lot of dedication, and especially if you are in the field and you are a little bit not in a rush, but you are actually in a follow-up. So every single second key matters, and you need also to deal with other possible, let's say, worst-case scenario, like contact with the target and so on. So doing tracking, it's like creating a sort of your own sphere, which necessarily has to be linked to all the possible other, let's say, actions that may occur during a follow-up, according to the field of application. Because right now I'm talking about the tactical tracking, but obviously in search or rescue mission, for example, there are many other critical points and so on.
I'm sure,
We can describe trackers as detective, but detectives that need also to adapt to the circumstances, to the speed up of the world follow-up, and also to the possible, let's say, deception technique that can be put into use. In fact, we talk about man tracking, but we can also talk about anti-tracking or counter-tracking, as you also mentioned before. So there are some things that deals with more with the patient and with a lot of time that you need to have on the ground, but sometimes you know better than me that it's not possible at all. And since I'm a civilian, my tactical tracking, let's say, application is related to teaching them during classes or during missions that with the anti-poaching rangers, with the conservation rangers operation worldwide that we lead in Africa. In August of this year, I will be in South Africa. So this is like a real application of this art. But again, you know, tracking poachers can require a lot of, you know, speed up also during
all of this. I understand.
It's not a forensic tracking. And
okay. Let's make a step back. So for all the listeners out there, for the audience or for the interested ones, so what do you need? What mindset does one need if he or she wants to start tracking?
First thing first, as I always underline to my students, common sense. Mm-hmm. It's very underrated because usually when you take a look at men tracking manuals, which are all very good, absolutely well written, they pinpoint patient perseverance, endurance, focus, and all this kind of stuff. And no one to say the opposite. Yes. They tell me agree. But I personally think, and it's also based on my personal experience, that most of the time people lack of common sense.
Yeah, okay, I completely understand. The thing is, when you see the movies, then you think it is shown like a kind of magic. You know, it's not, you don't see the hard work behind it. And in the end is exactly what you say. It's like a detective or me working in security. It's always like, it's most of the time common sense. But the thing is, first, of course, you need the common sense. But then on the other hand side, then you need to train your eye to see the little things. Okay, but common sense at first. Okay, I understand.
Common sense, absolutely. And then I would say very second place, really dedication, because mm-hmm. you really need to like it. Because if mm-hmm. you like it like half and half, it's not enough. You yes. really have to kind of forge yourself mm-hmm, mm-hmm. for that, because this is a primitive art, so the yes. seeds of man tracking are inside all of us. The yes. problem is that we kind of lose completely the focus. And also because when we are, for example, looking at the phone, it's a sort of a very quick process. You know, you mm-hmm. check and you scroll and you check.
Yes.
So sometimes we don't actually train ourselves in yes. focusing details, the same detail for a few seconds from mm-hmm. even 1 minute sometimes. And this is actually what makes the difference in tracking, because the yes. more you focus yourself, the more details you can get from a single picture. You know, that those kind of paintings when you needed to look intensely into them to get maybe another figure inside. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the same. And then endurance, because you can do tracking for 5 minutes and that's good, but even if you needed to stay focused and stay on alert for, I would say, like 6 hours of a search and rescue mission, mm-hmm. then it's mandatory that if you are too much tired, you need to be replaced, substituted yes. by another person. So
yeah, I understand.
We don't need, you know, the egocentric, mm-hmm. not at all. We don't mm-hmm. need like the John Rambo of the search and mm-hmm. rescue going on for hours, days, and so on. But we need honest people, and honesty and authenticity always pay.
Yeah.
But stay focused for more than 1 hour can be really, really tough, especially when you have a change of weather condition, a change of light, you yes. know, some sort of an inner disease of a dizziness that may occur inside yourself, and then maybe you needed to stop a little bit. But yeah, I would say the ego probably is one of the first enemies to become a good tracker.
Yeah, okay, I understand. The thing is, and this was something actually I wanted to ask right now, because you don't do it in the laboratory. It's not inside. It's not cozy. And especially if you are on a safety mission. So no, not safety. But, you know, if you want to rescue someone, rescue mission, then most of the time there are very harsh environment things. So, and also if you when you're not used being outside and then force yourself, as you said, like looking at the details, even though it is cold outside or you don't have eaten that much and something like that, then I'm sure endurance is something very good to say. So, okay, interesting. So we have like, what is the first thing is common sense.
Common sense.
Common sense, then dedication or passion, yeah. be passionate about it, and endurance. Sounds pretty hard, so it's not an easy thing to learn. So,
well, it's challenging, and honestly, yes. I see that the kids are very good in tracking, mm-hmm. very, okay. very good, very focused, and can do it for a long time.
Yes.
And instead of what I would say that sometimes some skilled guy, no offense for any category, but yeah. People that should have some sort of a more, let's say, preconceived mental mm-hmm. structure, sometimes they fail because it's not very practical art. It's more, let's say, a mental thing.
Yeah, okay.
And so sometimes they just went out with the first ideas. Oh, this could be like this kind of trail and zigzag. I say, no. Most of the time, it's just, let's say, a straight line from a point A to point B. And mm-hmm. that's it.
Okay, okay, I understand.
Unless yeah. you are focusing on the search for a fugitive or a missing person with some, you know, kind of Alzheimer's disease and dementia and so on.
Yeah, okay. So for you, and I think the way of tracking says very much, you know, just the side, like it's like, it's almost like, you know, the way of the fist, like in martial arts, the way of tracking. It's kind of a way of life. So what is tracking for you?
Well, it's still, because it's still a process, it's an ongoing process.
Yes.
It's still teaching me a lot. Because I got to admit that I was, it's actually the first time ever in interview that someone asked me something like this. So it's very accurate and very, let's say, okay. proper and very smart question.
Oh.
Let's say
coming
that,
from me.
Yeah, okay. No, yeah. But you are absolutely brilliant. So I got no surprise. Nick the brush about this. No, not at all. Well. Actually, still, since I was a very impatient person, and for mm-hmm. some sites, I'm still a very impatient person because I wanted to have things done, especially I have a very high, let's say, demand about mm-hmm. myself. I mm-hmm. really wanted to do things in the best manner as possible, mm-hmm. even pushing myself too much to the limit, physically mm-hmm. speaking sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the tracking instead kind of taught me how to slow down,
mm-hmm.
okay, to slow down physically, to take some time to read it like twice, to read tracks twice, to consider possible other points of view, possible mm-hmm. other perspective, not just, you know, black and white, but there are some nuances of gray in between.
Yes.
So he gave me a specific mindset. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to bring it on through all over also the daily life. So mm-hmm. not just while I'm teaching or doing tracking by myself or when I'm on mission, but just literally speaking in everyday life. Because it kind of mm-hmm. give you this idea of being much more curious, much more accurate when you mm-hmm. deal with facts, situations, and also with people. And last but not least, I learned throughout the tracking how to profile person mm-hmm. and situation.
No, very.
Because even if profiling is a discipline which is inside, you know, forensic investigation, yes. it was born during the 70s in America, mm-hmm. pretty much on the CIA and the FBI. Yes. When we as tracker, when we have to deal with one single track, which is a good one, we can see the wall of it, the wall outline, we can actually start profiling
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
the subject of okay. it, saying, okay, we got a male adult mm-hmm. between this age, some marks on the tracks can tell us a lot about like, let's say, habits, disabilities, and mm-hmm. so on. So if you think about that, you can bring this perspective and then try to be, let's say, try to apply it when you meet someone else. For example, mm-hmm. when I go to some exhibition, I can tell you the IWA. I was in the Forstack in IWA in Nuremberg this year. And obviously, when you are talking with someone that you don't know, you are start actually putting into process, putting yes. actually this profile. And
yes.
I'm telling this thing, so I'm sorting out these effects in people, which could be surprise, curiosity, and so yes. on. And at the same time, you are gaining details about the person, how he moves, the way he moves the eyes, you know, and learning how the person is lying, is kind of exaggerating curriculum, which is very much common, and you know better than me in some cases.
Yes.
We got some people telling, oh, I've been in special forces and, you know, kind of making up stories.
Yes.
So kind of mind tracking skills can give you a good help in identifying
yes.
how is a person or a situation. person is, let's say, safe, yes, or situation is safe, or it's a little bit dangerous or whatever.
Yeah, okay, I understand. It sounds very good. And in the end, I don't know if you know the BBC series, like with the Sherlock, the new Sherlock, and that's exactly, you know, what we want to do, like looking at all the small details, you know, he smoked this tobacco, perhaps he's nervous because this and that, and this is something, you know, as I said before, it seems like magic, but in the end, if you have a good eye and you have a, you can look at it, and this actually trains you for this. This is very interesting. So while tracking, so what was your, and I'm sure you know what the next question will be, but first it is, what was your biggest effort or your highlight with a tracking subject? So what was the thing when you thought you were very proud of yourself during a tracking situation? Can you tell something?
Since I'm volunteer for a search and rescue group, which is based pretty much on the mountains, because it's a search and rescue group that can be comparable to the Bergrettung, okay?
Yes.
Tracking missing subjects, especially senior guys, okay? Sometimes affected by senile dementia with Alzheimer's disease and so on. Sometimes it's not easy at all, especially if the terrain is a little bit craggy with some rocks and not very easy, let's say, to interpret. And being a part of this search and rescue mission is surely something that really involves you a lot.
Yeah.
And the other them, when you are able to find them, as it happened in a couple of cases,
yes,
absolutely, you feel yourself proud, but also proud of the whole team. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would say one answer is surely this one, especially tracking a missing subject. And the other thing is surely working in a team and training people. Because as I always underline after my classes, when bring on classes, workshops, also introduction to tracking, every single time I grow up with my students. So it's a sort of a win-win situation. It's not like me being an instructor and them absolutely another level. Absolutely not. It's just that we are at the same level and I learn from them and they are learning from me. And it's a good exchange, let's put into this this level.
All right. And we are back. And we are back on situation. So technique, as always, is an enemy. But, you know, we need to embrace our enemies. And so we work with them. So it is always best.
Embrace the suck.
Yeah, embrace the suck. That's it. I just asked you, so what has been the highlights of the tracking situation? And you said, like, it is, if you find someone, if you're in a rescue mission, this is something very empowering and very, very beautiful.
It's very rewardable.
Okay. So what is the thing, as you said, and I can totally compare with that since I'm very impatient too. So was there once a big disappointment where you think like, I don't want to track anymore, or, you know, something like that, where you've been very disappointed or not happy with yourself or something like that?
Well, I would say that it's probably related to the very first phase of me into tracking. I was doing a lot of field training with my former fiancé, and I noticed that my performance were extremely bad, extremely. And this happened around 2016, so before me as an instructor. But I was very impatient to learn and very impatient to be proficient. So I kind of underestimate the ground, underestimate the vegetation, underestimate also my performances and my knowledge in it. And that was a mistake because, mistakes are necessary in tracking, as I always stress it also with my students, are a part of it. If you don't make mistakes, you are not doing good. That's as it is. More than in other discipline, if you do mistakes, you know, in a sort of a training phase, it's more than welcome. Mm-hmm. But if you are doing mistakes while you are on the mission, that's problematic, not only for you, but for the rest of the team, for your comrades, mm-hmm. and so on. So you need to get used to mistakes in the training phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
In a real case scenario, that's it. But honestly, if I'm not, for example, every single time that I travel, I have to deal with the terrains that I never saw before. For example,
and
I led a course in the Murcia Desert in Spain.
Yes,
it was very exciting. I never been in that desert before. I only went to the Mojave in the nearby of Vegas.
Nice.
But it's a completely different desert. But I ended up in the desert of Spain in the worst time ever. So heavy rains, heavy wind. And me and my collaborator, Gonzalo, we were like, que locura, what a torture, because it was really, really a very tough situation, not only for us to teach and also to speak in at the high volume of voice, but also for the students. So the best thing that you can do in tracking when you have this kind of a coincidence of bad things happening is just to freeze a little bit, but not to freeze to flight. I mean, to freeze to collect ideas, to focus on the situation that you have, and to adapt and to overcome. So you always adapt and overcome.
Okay.
And it works also for tracking.
Okay, nice. Yeah, this is very interesting, especially, you know, with failing. Failing is hard, and sometimes, or I have to, it's not very popular to fail. You know, if you fail on a test, then you're failed, and it's always, it has a bad reputation, but on the other hand side, you can only learn, or you can learn best from mistakes. So, last question for today, since we have a little time issue, but since we are all the audience out there, we are gear nerds. So, and so I would like to ask you, so not specially on tracking, but perhaps, but what does one need to track, or what would you recommend, or what is your favorite piece of gear you would never go out without?
Well, for tracking, it's mandatory to have a measuring device, but even better to have a good flashlight.
Mm-hmm,
and for a good flashlight, 1,000 lumens, it's more than enough. But I would never get out, let's say, without a four-color flashlight.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Right now, I mean, for example, I'm employing right now since the very beginning, the PQ7 from LED Lancer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I also talked with the guys at the EY, and I say, got all my students purchase the same one, because you have in one single flashlight the possibility to switch from one color to another without using filters, because, you know, filters are very fragile, so most of the time you can them up.
Yeah, I see. You can say we are explicit, so
and,
you fuck them up and you lose them. Okay, what colors do you need? Like blue, green, red?
Blue, or green, red, and white.
Okay.
A good point on that flashlight, especially the let's say the previous version, was the click. So let's say I don't have it with me, but maybe the next episode I can bring it with me. When you switch it on, you have it. A click, which is very smooth, like tick.
Yes.
So from a tactical perspective, it's a win-win, absolutely.
Yes.
When you have like the switch, which is so smooth that you cannot even hear it. And then you just switch from one color to another, just rotating the device. This is actually the essential piece of gear for trackers. Then we have several others, like a good jungle hat, a signaling mirror to look into tracks, but we can talk a little bit more extensively in the next episode.
Yeah,
also showing the stuff too during
Yeah, but this is great. So as said before, we have a little time issue, but I think for our first, you know, like for our first episode, this is very, very good, and I thank you very much to, like, kind of, you know, not only track us, but, you know, lead us into the way of tracking and giving all the insights in your life, which is very interesting for me or for us to know. And I'm looking forward for our next episode, where we dive deeper into the gear side. And yes, once again, thank you very much, and feel free to say, you know, the last words for today.
For today. So in the next episode, we can talk a little bit more on gear, and I would like to show you some, let's say, tricks of the trade, and not also tools of the trade, but also some tricks of the trade.
Yes.
Just to bring all the people more inside this fascinating discipline.
Okay, so once again, thank you very much. It was a pleasure, and I'm looking forward for the next episode. So for you out there, now I switch back to German. So wie immer, jetzt habt ihr einen neuen Grund rauszugehen. Schaut euch auf jeden Fall die Seite an von Cat, sodass ihr ein paar Informationen bekommt. Sie hat auch einen guten YouTube-Kanal, wo man nachschauen kann. Ich packe das in die Shownotes rein. Und ey Leute, das ist ein neuer Grund. Geht raus, tut Dinge und habt Spaß dabei. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Ciao.